Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
How many had an awesome week? Some of us had such a good week we didn't show up today. No. All right. Well, you guys ready to get something from the Word of God this morning? We've been in the middle of a series on authentic community, and for quite some time, actually. And this is such a vital series because it seems like so much of what we have cultivated as what we call church is, you know, we've done it because we've seen it done. And, you know, the Spirit of the Lord told us years and years ago, even before this church started, that He wanted us to do things differently. He didn't want us to do things like we've known. And of course, when you're starting a church, you know, and the Lord says, don't do what you've known, your first response is, what am I supposed to do then? Because I know nothing else. And we didn't have any idea what he was meaning or what he meant. So we just pressed on and did what we knew, you know. But really, in this series, Authentic Community, He's really brought out in all of the letters, really, that have been written in the New Testament, what Paul wrote, what Peter wrote, about what authentic community looks like in our environments together. And, you know, a lot of times because we are, you know, let's just admit it, we're all natural people. Part of you is a natural person. At least a third of you is a natural person. And it's easy to get locked in on that arena, isn't it? It's easy to, you know, we say things like, we quote verses like, well, the just will live by faith. It's mentioned three times in our New Testaments. And even in that, like Brother Greg mentioned, even in that, we've kind of defined faith as something that comes from you. And the Spirit of the Lord, when He began to show me some things along the lines of, you know, having me take a second look at what does the word grace mean? What is the grace of God? And then it led over into what is the faith of God? Because it says that it's by faith that it might be by grace, right? And I was raised in church environments my whole life, pretty much. And I never once had a second thought about the way folks were defining what grace was and what faith was. And, you know, if you've ever been around any Christians for any length of time at all, you've been submitted to environments where folks are believing God for things, right? I said, right? And so they do certain things that they call, this is faith. And they don't realize that what they're doing is coming from them. And if you'll do a study of your New Testament, and I challenge you, you all, hopefully you're in your New Testament every day. You know, not just New Testament, Old Testament too, but when it comes to understanding and the revelation of the Spirit of God, what He wants to do in the local church, and post-resurrection, do a study on the letters that Paul and Peter wrote, and you will find that the faith that they are talking about is not the faith that we have said is faith. Neither is the grace that we have called grace what Paul was familiar with when it came to the grace of God. If you'll read his writings, you will find that what he is speaking of is a relationship between you and the Father that is completely revelatory in nature. Does everybody understand what I mean when I say revelatory in nature? Granted, you know, Romans 12, I understand Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that we're supposed to be renewed. We're supposed to renew our minds so that we are not conformed to this world. I get that. But if you don't just read sections and you read New Testament, put it all in the context, what you'll find is what Paul is speaking about is renewing your mind, submitting your mind to the revelatory Word of God by the Spirit of God, because how many of the Holy Spirit wrote the entire Bible, right? Men were moved upon by the Spirit of God and they wrote down what they were getting. So if we look at the New Testament, if the Spirit of God wrote it and it's revelatory in nature, and we always say that it's, quote, inexhaustible in what it will show you if you'll stay in it, then we should understand that our relationship with Father is completely revelatory in nature. It is not designed for us to live out of our head with a concept of who He is. Amen? The challenge that we've had is we've had thought processes that have filtered down into our what we've called Christianity, that basically have reduced Jesus and reduced the book we hold in our hands down to a collection of verses and scriptures and books and letters that we're just supposed to know and memorize. And the Spirit of God gave us the Word of God so that we would learn how to think like He does, and so that He could, from that foundation, He could bring us over into what Father knows. So, when we talk about the faith of God and the faith and the grace of God, understand that Paul was speaking of, and Peter. If you read 1 Peter, my gosh, I read it for years and years and never saw it. 1 Peter, Peter is talking specifically about the presence of Him and the power that's accompanied with that presence that is ready to be revealed at any moment on your behalf. That, my friends, as he says in chapter 5, is the true grace of God. Stand firm in that. The grace of God is not a sentiment that Father has towards you. He could have burned you, He could have roasted you, but He chose not to. That's mercy. Everybody say that's mercy. And he talks about mercy in your Bible. But grace and mercy are not the same thing. He gave you mercy so that He could give you His presence and the power that accompanies that. And He wants you to develop a relationship with Him based on that transaction of His presence, His ever-present presence with you and on you all the time, and the power that accompanies that when you walk out what He gives you. He never intended for Christianity to become a mental thing. And the challenges that we have in developing authentic community, the challenges we have is we settle into what we're familiar with. And because part of us is rooted in natural thought processes, natural man, then those things in His Word that we don't have a grasp on yet, we just basically settle into what we're familiar with. Instead of pressing into the Spirit of God and saying, Lord, I don't understand this, but I want to understand this, please open the eyes of my understanding. Since my relationship with you, folks, even your relationship to get into the kingdom of God was completely revelatory in nature. Right? You didn't wake up one day and decide, well, I'm going to get to know Jesus today. I'm going to muster up enough faith so I can get to know Jesus today. It's by grace, it's by His presence and power, because what brought you out of the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of life was an act by the Spirit of God that opened your vantage point to heaven's perspectives, and you saw Jesus for who He really was, and bam, the transition was made. You didn't come up with that conclusion on your own. So when Paul talks about it's by grace, so that it might be by faith, and he talks about the fact that it's by grace that you're saved, or literally in the Greek New Testament it says, it's by grace that you are, having been saved through faith. That faith he's talking about is not something you came up with. That faith is revelatory in nature, and like Brother Greg talked about, that faith comes from Father to communicate to you what belongs to you. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance or the undergirding of things that you hope for. It's the, what's the next word? It's the evidence of things. Father communicates to you, kind of like in a backdoor channel through your spirit. When faith shows up, when you spend time in His Word and you're reading some scriptures and faith shows up, and it's like you read something and you've never read it like that before, and all of a sudden you see something, that's faith telling you this belongs to you. Take ownership of it now. It's yours. It's always been yours. So what we understand from our relationship with Him and from what Paul and Peter wrote about is your relationship with Him, your connection to Him is completely revelatory in nature. You came into the kingdom by a revelation by the Spirit of God. The veil was pulled back and you saw Jesus for who he said He was. Who He says He is. But the challenge that we have is we get so fixed on natural things. We read scriptures, like I said, that, you know, the just will live by faith, and we don't live by what we see, and we're not led by sight, we're led by a spirit, all these things. But then we have all these voices that communicate to us on a daily basis, and they're everything except Him. I have nothing against TV, I have nothing against all that stuff, I watch it too. But when those voices are the loudest voice in your head, you're not led by Him. When your upbringing is the loudest thing in your head, you're not being led by Him. When what you're familiar with is the loudest thing in your head, you're not being led by Him. So we've kind of seen Christianity. I realize I'm making a broad brush statement here, and I realize you guys are, you know, spirit in tuned enough to separate everything. But if you look at what we've settled into a gospel that is completely natural in nature. I heard somebody say this, that was so amazing, that, you know, Jesus told His disciples to do things and they walked those things out. He tells us to do things and we just memorize them. Where did we get that as the system? When He told us, everything the Spirit of God tells you, He's telling you that to get you to step up into it, because He's trying to take you to a higher level. So, we're going to go through some things today. We talked about this last week, but how many know when you hear things one time, a lot of times you don't get all that God wants you to get. So, we're going to take some environments and things that we've been submitted to in the last, three, 4 weeks in our nation. How do we respond to these things? How do we act about these things? How do we see what our perspective is supposed to be about these things, being that we are new creation believers? Paul said that if you're a new creation, all things are passed away, all things become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:16-17. Well, 17. 16, he says, know no man after the flesh. It was amazing. Growing up in church, I never heard that verse. I always heard 17. All things are passed away, all things become new. But verse 16 says that we understand this one fact, that if Christ died, then He died for everyone. Everybody say everyone. Everyone that has ever breathed, is breathing, or will breathe, He's died for them. And then it says, as a result of Him dying for them, they all have died. Read your Bibles, it's in there. All, you know, last time I checked, the Spirit of God, when He says all, He means all, right? There's not anybody that's left out. Now, granted, they have to take ownership of it, but it doesn't change the fact that He died for all. When He died for all, and all died. That's why He says to know no man after the flesh. He said, we used to know Jesus that way, but oops, we were wrong. He didn't say that, but that's a paraphrase. So we understand that when we look at things and we adopt natural perspectives on things, you're 99.999999999% chance you're going to get it wrong. You're going to miss it. So let's talk about what does it look like to be a Christian in the natural environments that we're in now. Well, number one, we need to understand that when Paul wrote what he wrote, so often we remove the Bible and we remove the New Testament out of its setting. We forget that the government that was in place there is worse than what we've ever seen. You might as well say amen. It's so. I mean, there was a at the time of the writing of 1 and 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, all those letters, there was an emperor in power. His name was, well, he's known by the name of Nero. He actually had a very long name, but he's known in history by the name of Nero. But his mother was a piece of work. His mother smoozed up to another emperor named Claudius, and after they got to be chummy, well, he just kind of went away. And Nero took over at the age of 16. Well, about 5 or 6 years later, Nero ordered the assassination of his mother. Nice guy, huh? He figured at 21, I'm a man, I don't need you anymore. And it was a whole lot different than just moving out. So she went away. And then he divorces the wife that he had. And I guess back then it wasn't just sufficient to send them on the way. They had to cease to exist. So she was beheaded. This is the leader of the known world at that time when Peter wrote all these letters. And he married another individual who was already pregnant, and obviously the reason she was is because they had relationships. And at that point he began to terrorize the known world. I'm not talking about around him, I'm talking about in his own country. And this is the environment that Paul wrote all the letters that he wrote. When he wrote, pray for the leaders of your country that you might live a quiet and peaceable life. Guess who he was talking about? See, it's unlike any environment we've ever known. But yet the Spirit of God still had Paul write in his letter to Timothy, the 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, pray for all those in authority over you so that you might live a quiet and peaceable life. He didn't say if you agree with them. You might as well say amen. So this was the environment that they had. So then in AD 64 AD, then Nero decided he wanted to build some major buildings, tear down a bunch of buildings that were already there and build a bunch of buildings to his honor. And the Roman Senate said, no. So he decided, fine, I'm going to burn them all down. So they mysteriously started a fire. And somehow he had timed it well because he wasn't around, but history says it was him. And he decided that he was going to, the uproar that took place after that, he was going to blame it on all the Christians. We have yet to experience that environment in our nation, have we? I said, have we? AD 65, he decided that the philosopher that had spoken into his life, he'd had enough of him, so he forced him to commit suicide. In AD 68, some nations rebelled against Nero and they forced him to commit suicide. So that was the environment that the New Testament was penned in. Sounds pretty good, right? But yet Paul wrote things by the Spirit of God. You don't find any of that stuff in the Word of God. You find things by the Spirit of God that are completely different in nature. Notice in 1 Corinthians what he says we have. When was the last time? And by the way, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. If you get a chance, please go pick up these translations. They're fantastic. We need some new thoughts out of the Word of God. And he goes into the Aramaic and brings out what the Aramaic says, brings out what the Latin says, brings out what the Greek says, puts it all in one translation. It's just fantastic. 1 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7. This is what the Spirit of God says through Paul that you have in your possession if you are a new creation. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, it says this: in Him you've been made extravagantly rich in every way. You have been endowed with a wealth of inspired utterance. Everybody say inspired utterance. You know what inspired utterance means? That means you're not living out of your own head. Your head is involved, but your head is submitted to what you're getting out of your spirit, because that's where the Holy Spirit is. But he says, what you've been given is you've been endowed with a wealth of inspired utterance and riches that come from the intimate knowledge. Everybody say intimate knowledge. Of Him, or that which comes from Him. I know the word of can mean about somebody or that which comes from them. Right? Verse 6, for the reality of the truth of Christ is seen among you and strengthened through your experience of Him. He goes on to say in verse 7, you aren't lacking any spiritual gift and eagerly awaiting the unveiling of the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. The Spirit of God, through Paul, said, what you have in what we call Christianity, you have been endowed with a wealth of inspired utterance that comes from the knowledge that belongs to Him. Everybody say, my relationship with Father is revelatory in nature. He said, in fact, you aren't lacking any spiritual gift. Now, if these verses have always been in our Bible, how come it is when I grew up in church, they always told me that all of those gifts that he talks about later in this letter, they all belong to somebody else? We never talked about them. We just kind of skipped over it. The entire book of Acts was nothing more than the journeys of Paul instead of what Holy Spirit was doing through the individuals in the local churches, in the cities, in the marketplaces that they lived in. So Paul says, you're not lacking any spiritual gift. You're eagerly awaiting the unveiling of the Lord. Jesus said you must be born again. In order to perceive the kingdom of God, he says you must be born again. The literal translation says you must be born from above. And if you'll notice, when you're born from above, you notice there is no contention up there. Right? I'm not talking I'm talking about where Father resides. I'm not talking about in the heavens that are below that, where all the principalities, powers, mights, and dominions reside. Where Father is, there is no contention, right? He goes on to say in his letter to the Corinthian church in chapter 1, verse 10, he says, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to agree to live in unity with one another, but put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Be restored as one unified body, living in perfect harmony. And I love this, the way this is worded. Form a consistent choreography among yourselves. Everybody know what choreography is? Have you ever seen anybody dance and they're moving exactly in time with each other, perfectly? They're all doing the same exact moves at the same exact time. I don't know how somebody's supposed to do it. My daughter's the dancer, actually. And I love going to see her dance. It's amazing. She does everything from ballet to modern dance. But just to think you're there and you're dancing and you really don't know what's going on over here with everybody else, but you all seem to do the same thing at the same time. It's really amazing. Paul is saying by the Spirit of God, he says, form a consistent choreography among yourselves, having a common perspective with shared values. Whose values do you suppose those are? His. The challenge that we have had, we've tried to develop authentic community in local churches, and everybody else adopts their own values. This is why Paul said in Galatians in chapter 2, he says, the life that I now live, that old man is dead. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, and my life is hidden in Him. Right? If you'll read your New Testament, you'll find that theoretically, you actually don't exist. Because your life is hidden in Him. He said in his letter to the Colossian church in chapter 3, he says, understand this, and this is literally what it says in the original language. He says, understand this, that you set your mind on things above, set your thoughts on things above where Christ sits, because when, in verse 3 or so, when Christ is revealed, or whenever Christ is revealed, speaking of at any time, not coming back, but at any time in your lifetime, when you are ministering to people, whenever you see the life of God revealed through you, you need to understand, and this is literally what it says, that the life that you're observing that is ministering to someone else, that is now your life. Your life and His life are the same. So, back here in the Corinthian church, he says in this letter, form a consistent choreography among yourselves, having a common perspective with shared values. The Aramaic actually says, so that you may be of one word. Everybody say one word. Whose word do you think that is? You remember the statues, Nebuchadnezzar? The visions that Daniel had? Part of the statue was gold, and then part of it was silver. And then as you went down into the feet, it, you know, it went from gold to silver to bronze to a mixture of bronze and clay. You know why that is? Because every one of those metals and mixtures was a different influence of leadership. A different thought process, a different government, a different king, a different ruling authority. And you'll notice by the time you got down to the feet that it was a mixture of clay and iron. And you know clay and iron don't mix? They don't, just in case you were wondering. Clay and iron don't mix. That was speaking about the Roman Empire, but I want to submit to you, that's also speaking about the church. That statue could be the church, because anytime we try to introduce our own thought processes and our own ideas and our own words and our own values into them, because that's just the way I was raised, but if that's not the way the Spirit of God thinks, then there's no cohesion there. Amen. And I know I'm speaking against the common thought process of the day that I have a right to think the way I want to. No, you don't. You don't have a right to think any way you want to. If you're inside of Him, the only right way you have to think is the way He thinks. Y'all don't be so loud. I love the fact that he says later on in the same chapter, chapter 1, verse 26, he said, look, God shows those things the world considers foolish to shame those who think they're wise. God shows the puny and the powerless to shame the high and the mighty. So if you've ever had a thought about yourself that, well, I'm not really much to think of, guess what? You're exactly the one Father loves. He wants to use you, because whatever the world considers to be foolish and of no significance, that's what He's going to take to turn the tables. This is the way He is. Do you remember when Jesus, the disciples, Jesus demonstrated something or He made a statement, and the disciples' response was, Lord, give us more faith. You remember that? Now, if we understand that faith is not something that comes from you, but it actually comes from heaven, and it is revelatory in nature, and it is a pipeline that Father uses to communicate to you what belongs to you. You could almost take the word faith and take the word faith's revelation, and when you read the New Testament, change that word, and you'll find that every single thing that Paul and Peter spoke about regarding faith, it unlocks the entire deal. But when Jesus, when he made the statement, or whatever statement He made, and the disciples' response was, Lord, give us more faith. And He made the statement, all you need is the faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, there's been books written on what Jesus meant. by that statement. But when you take and understand that faith is something that comes from Father, when Jesus told Peter, when Peter had said, answer the question, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you're blessed, Peter, because no natural thought process of man revealed that to you, but my Father did in heaven. What did faith, what do we look at? When Peter made that statement, what was he doing? We would call it faith. Right? Jesus called it revelation from Father. Because that's what faith is. So when Jesus said, all you need is the faith the size of a mustard seed, he was simply saying, look, you only need one little glimpse of something revealed from Father, and that's all it takes. I promise you that if you were to talk to anybody who's ever had been delivered by the Spirit of God out of an environment, out of a situation, out of an affliction in their body, whatever it is, whatever the environment was, if you talk to them, you will find that just before deliverance came, they got a glimpse of something by the Spirit of God, and they stepped out on it, and bam, and it took hold. That's faith in action. Or we could say, Father, through the pipeline of faith, delivered revelation, and in believing, they acted on what they got, and they walked it out, and the result came. That is how the kingdom of God is set up. Nothing comes from you. Well, you're believing that you have to put it into action, but it doesn't originate from you. So Jesus told the disciples, "All you need is faith the size of a mustard seed." It's the same thing he said after he told Peter that you're blessed because my Father revealed this to you. He said, "Upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell or the defenses of darkness will not prevail against anything that is revealed to you by your Father." Why? Because you only need a glimpse to turn the whole thing. Everybody say this, my relationship with Father is revelatory in nature. For the sake of time, I can't go through all the scriptures that I went through last week. But you will find that the Spirit of God draws a very, 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 very clear distinction through Paul on what is Christianity and what is not. He talks about the fact that when I came to you, I didn't come to you in my own thought processes. I didn't come to you in trying to convince you from my own wisdom. He said the Spirit of God doesn't want your faith to be grounded on natural man wisdom. He wants it to be grounded on that which the Spirit of God reveals. Your nature with Him is revelatory, and your relationship with Him is revelatory in nature. He said in chapter 2, verse 10, God now unveils profound realities to us. Yes, He's revealed to us His inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. I don't know about you, but I'd like to know what Father knows, not get stuck in my own head to only know what I know. Chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. We did not receive the spirit of the world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace or His presence and the power that accompanies that has lavished upon us. Verse 13, we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit of God. He says, not by words that are taught by human wisdom. We join together Spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. The original Aramaic says this, we interpret spiritual truths by spiritual faculties. So you see the Spirit of God drawing a very sharp division between what we call Christianity, that's simply regurgitating things out of our own natural minds, and cultivating our relationship with Him to the place where we're in His Word constantly, and we're so familiar with what He gives us, the impressions He gives us, that we recognize those things that come through the pipeline into our spirit that are revelatory in nature, and we know how to walk those out. What does your Bible say in three places? The just shall live by, and what is faith? the revelation of faith. Or you could say, the just shall live by faith's revelation. It's by His presence and the power that accompanies it. You know, it was this power that brought you out of the kingdom of darkness and it was into the kingdom of life. You didn't do it yourself. His power, His presence showed up. His power saw to it that as soon as the veil of revelation was pulled back and you saw Jesus for who He really was, bam, His power moved you into the kingdom of life. We're the ones that have complicated this thing, guys. For the sake of time, I'll say this. Because of that one event called the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him going to the cross, Paul said that when he died, all died. And he said in verse 16 of chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, he said it like this. He said, so then from now on we have a new perspective. Everybody say a new perspective. That refuses to evaluate people merely on their outward appearance. For that's how we once viewed the Anointed One, but no longer do we see Him with that limited human insight. What happened when they evaluated Him with human insight? They got it wrong. What happens when we as a local church make a choice to evaluate things on human natural insight? Where is it going to go? Going to get it wrong every time. Because you were not designed or created to evaluate things by natural human insight. You were designed to evaluate things by the Spirit, His Spirit in you, out of your spirit. The challenge is if we feed our mind everything natural, then the loudest voice in your mind is something natural. It's hard for your spirit to compete. In fact, your spirit won't. 2 Corinthians 2:10, 2, he says this, you seem to always be looking at people by their outward appearances. How many know nothing's really changed with natural man? Galatians 6, to the letter to the Galatians, he said this, in Him I've been crucified to this natural realm. Everybody say this, I've been crucified to this natural realm. And the natural realm is dead to me and no longer dominates my life. So if that's true, then why do we allow it to speak into our lives 5 days a week? 6 days a week, 7 days a week. Verse 15, it says, the only thing that really matters is living by the transforming power of this wonderful new creation life. He goes on to say in chapter 5, verse 19, in other words, it's through the Anointed One that God was shepherding the world. This is back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. In other words, it was through the Anointed One, speaking of Jesus, that God was shepherding the world, not even keeping records of their transgressions. He was entrusted to us the ministry of opening the doors of reconciliation to God. I don't care what translation you read it out of, guys, this verse says what it says. So if Father's not holding their transgressions against them, why do we? Notice this is interesting. Ephesians chapter 2, this is what I call the Trinity of Authentic Community. I'll show you the screen just because, you know, there you go. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and I don't care what translation you read it out of, your Bible says this. By dying, speaking of Jesus, as our sacrifice, He has broken down, speaking of Jesus, every wall of prejudice that separated us and has made us equal. Everybody say equal. Say equal again. Through the union with Christ. Verse 15. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion. He says He's not holding their trespasses against Him. Why? Because of the crucifixion. Galatians 3:28, same Holy Spirit, same writer. We no longer see each other in our former state. In this text, it was Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female. You might as well add anything else you can think of. Black, white, brown, Asian, whatever. He says we no longer make a choice to see each other in our former state. Because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ with no distinction between us. Everybody say no distinction. Maybe he's just out of touch. You think the Holy Spirit's out of touch? Well, let's see. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Same Holy Spirit, same writer. Now it's time to eliminate them from your lives once and for all. Anger, fits of rage, all forms of hatred, cursing, filthy speech, and lying. Now that you've embraced the new creation life as the true reality, lay aside your old Adam self with its masquerade and disguise. I love the way that's worded. He goes on to say in verses 10 and 11, for your new creation life is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. Verse 11, in this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference. Or your ethnicity, education, or economic status. That is the only thing that natural man has built his existence on. As he lives in every one of us, he says, for it is Christ that means everything, as he lives in every one of us. Notice what he says. He says that in this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, your ethnicity makes no difference, your education makes no difference, your economic status makes no difference. But notice what he says by inference, that when you get on those subjects and you focus on those subjects in your natural thought process, what does it cause? It causes the environment of anger, fits of rage, all forms of hatred, cursing, filthy speech, and lying. Authentic community, here's something you think about. Authentic community between us will only take root and flourish in direct relation to how established we are as individuals in these three verses. Well, there's more than three verses, but these three letters in these specific verses. I'm going to read that again. Authentic community between us will only take root and flourish in direct relation to how established as individuals we are in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, Galatians 3:28, and Colossians 3:11. I can't skip this verse because it's pretty crucial. I'll go back and read it. The Spirit of God through Paul made this statement. He made the statement, let's see if I can find it, that all things belong to you. He said, all things belong to you. But there was a fight in the church with, well, I follow this man, or I follow that man. Well, I follow Peter. Well, I follow Jesus. None of y'all are spiritual enough. I follow the direct source. And Paul says, I don't know what you guys are fussing about, because everything that they know has all been given to you. All things belong to you. Life, death, and he said, the present and the future. The one thing he left out was the past. Why? Because there's one event that happened in the human race called the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus that eliminates everyone's past. Everybody say this, my past has been completely eliminated. Your family line is him now. I'm not just spewing theology, folks. This really needs to take root in the body of Christ. Because this is the gospel that the Spirit of God gave Paul. I love Philippians 1:9. It says this, I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase more and more until it overflows, bringing you into the rich revelation. Everybody say revelation. Of spiritual insight in all things. With this revelation, you will come to know God fully as he imparts you the deepest understanding of his ways. What is the one thing we have got to have authentic community amongst ourselves? Revelation of his ways. His way is not the way you were raised. His way is his way. You might as well say amen. I understand the way you were raised may be the familiar, but it's not. It may not be his ways. So we want to press into him. Verse 10, he says, this will enable you to choose the most excellent way. What will enable you? Him bringing you into the rich revelation of spiritual insight into how he thinks and how he operates. When he brings you into that arena, this will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all, becoming pure and without offense. Let me say without offense. That doesn't mean necessarily only that he sees you without offense, although that is true. But what this is talking about in the context is, if you will press into him and you will, this is why Paul is praying this, that their love that comes from their new nature would grow and increase more and more until it overflows, bringing them into a rich revelation of spiritual insight into the way God functions, how he thinks, how he sees things. When we move into that, he says, it will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all. It'll be becoming pure and without offense. This is the most amazing verse in your entire Bible, because what he's saying is, if you'll submit your life to him, if you'll learn to develop your spirit with his spirit, he will literally cause your thought processes to change and be altered to match his. And they will keep you in a place of being pure and seeing pure. And it will keep you from a place of taking offense. You know that some of the most common words in the natural society right now are, that offended me and I'm outraged. That's how natural man is wired. But I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, that's not how you're wired. Because we're not building our foundation of Christianity on natural man thought process. Paul made it pretty clear to the Corinthian church. What we get from him. Our relationship with our Father is revelatory in nature. If you allow him to give you revelation of how he sees things and the way he operates, it will enable you to choose the most excellent way of all, becoming pure and without offense until the unveiling of Christ. Here's that verse, 1 Corinthians 3:22. He said, whether it's Paul or Apollos or Peter the rock, or whether it's the world, life or death, or whether it's the present or the future, everything belongs to you. The past is not in there. Did you ever notice this? Did you ever notice that the way the influences of darkness steer people is they bring up their past? It happens in Christian circles too. Whenever someone's trying to bring shame on somebody to either buffer them, to get them away from them, or steer them in a direction they want them to go, the first thing they bring up is their past. Your past doesn't exist. But I got news for you, nobody else's does either. That usually goes over pretty well. Didn't your Bible tell you that he's not holding anybody's trespasses against him? Or did I just put that in there? Your Bible says that. So if he's not holding anybody's trespasses against him, and if Christ died, he died for all, and if all are died, if he died for all, then all died, then nobody has a past. That's why he says your present and your future belong to you. Folks, it's the same way for every other human being that's out there. What belongs to them is their present and their future. Jesus says, I know the plans I have for you. The Spirit of God, through the Old Testament prophet, said, I know the plans I have for you. They're plans to prosper you and give you an expected end. That's all future. How do we ensure that we have authentic community one with the other? And how do we ensure that natural men are the culture of our societies out there, when they come in contact with us as the local churches, how are they going to be ensured that they're receiving authentic community? We live in the present and we live in the future with an expectation that God is good, he loves you, and he has good plans for you. And you focus on people's future and their present, not their past. The only time that you will ever even touch their past is if the Spirit of God, through the word of knowledge, gives you insight into something that he's trying to set him free from. What do you think would happen in this nation? Just think about this, guys. What would happen in this nation if tomorrow when you woke up, nobody, news media, anybody, nobody, cities, cultures, groups of people, nobody, you couldn't find one place anywhere on any kind of media source that was talking about anybody's past. What would that look like? It would look like it's supposed to look. A couple more scriptures and I'm done. See, the underlying thing is, and we went through this last week, I won't go through it today, but the underlying thing is this. We need to understand who the battle is against. It's not against people. He said our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. It's the influences in the unseen realm that influence people's thought processes. They think it's their original thought, but it's not. Our job is to be, as Paul wrote in his letters, our job is to be effective intercessors and stand in the gap between the influences that are trying to steer human beings in the wrong direction and destroy their lives with thought processes that are only going to cause anger, which, you know, we know what anger does. Anger destroys your physical body. Our job is to be effective intercessors and stand in the gap between the powers of darkness that have been brought to naught and those that are trying to influence natural human beings with wrong thought processes and wrong ideas to drive wedges between people and destroy people. And there's a number of verses in your Bible that talk about all those principalities, mights, and dominions. But the bottom line is your Bible also says that Jesus brought them all to naught, made a show of them openly. They no longer have any teeth. They no longer have any authority. That's why Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. If all means all, then all means all. There isn't anything left. So what is it? What is the system that we're supposed to function from as local churches, as the body of Christ? It's certainly not something that's seated in our own natural thought process. Jude made this statement. He says, you pray in the Holy Spirit. You pray in your spirit, building yourself up on your most holy faith, keeping yourself in the love of God. He was talking about, and Paul calls it praying in the Spirit. The book of Acts calls it praying in tongues. It's rather silly to me that we have adopted these ideas that we understand that our natural man has a voice and has a language. But yet your Bible, your New Testament says that the real you is your spirit, not your mind or your emotions. Your natural man has a language, but the real you is your spirit. What, is he mute? Are they mute? Where do we get that idea? The real you has a language too. Acts calls it speaking in tongues. Paul calls it in his letters, praying in the Spirit. He said, pray in the Spirit always. Jude said, pray out of the Spirit. When you pray out of the Spirit, you are building yourself up on, think about it, what's faith? You're building yourself up on your most holy faith revelation. Why? Because your mind, Paul said, your mind in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he said, your mind is not the origin of what you're saying. Or it's not that it's not productive, but it's not, your prayer life is not coming from your thought process. Your thought process is submitted to your spirit. Your spirit is like a camera. It's like a movie camera. Out of your spirit, how many have ever had a glimpse of something? It was a picture. Your mind is like a movie screen. We see in pictures. Your spirit is like the camera. When you pray out of your spirit, Paul says in his letter to the Corinthian church, he said, pray always. He says, pray. I thank God I pray more than you all in my spirit. And he says, pray in your spirit, but pray in your understanding also. Jude said, when you pray out of your spirit, you keep yourself in the love of God, which means you keep yourself rooted in the purest revelation you can receive from the Spirit of God into your spirit. That's why you're built up on your most holy faith. It's yours because it belongs to you because you're the new man or the new woman. But it's faith's revelation. He gave us that tool so that we could live in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. You can't live in Philippians 1, verse 9 in your own head. You can only live. See, he never designed Christianity to be dumbed down to the place where it's just a thought process in your mind. It's just the way I think. It's the way I was raised. It's just the ideas I collected when I was growing up. Christianity is not that. It's not a mental thing. It is absolutely supernatural in its core, and in your relationship with Father will only be successful to the degree that you submit yourself to the Word of God, but not just the print, to the revelatory glimpse that the Spirit of God will give you when you read His Word. And the spontaneous moments in life, living life out there in your culture, that you've trained yourself how to pay attention to Him in those moments. But He gave us the gifts of the Spirit. He gave us, you know, what Acts calls speaking in tongues. I call it speaking out of our spirit. He gave us those things so that we could flourish in, increase more and more in this love, and it would bring us into the revelation of spiritual insight. Jude 20:21 is saying the same thing that Philippians is saying. It's saying the same thing that 1 Corinthians is saying, chapter 12. Same thing that we started off with this morning, that you come behind in no gift, that you have inherited here it is. You've been endowed with a wealth of inspired utterance. Now, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot this morning. But what I do want to do is this. The Spirit of God told me to do this morning. Because how many know it's easy for me to take, it's easy for me to do exactly what I just said nobody's supposed to do, and that is live by what my natural eyes see, my ears hear, and all this kind of stuff. And it's easy for me to just assume that everybody is developed and has received the release to do what Paul says and what Jude says, praying out of your spirit. I'll just tell you this, folks. Without this, the best you can do is relate to your Bible in a mental way. And I'm going to go ahead and say this too. There are those here that maybe years ago, maybe you, as some would call it, maybe you were, quote, baptized into the Holy Spirit. Maybe you had a release and you, quote, as Acts, the book of Acts says, you prayed in tongues. Paul says you pray out of your spirit or pray in the spirit. Maybe a long time ago, maybe you had that release, but it's been so long since you even exercised that you feel like in your mind that you no longer have that release. Everybody go ahead and stand up. We're done. Here's what we're going to do. Because this is the key, folks, to the release of revelation in your life. You will never read the Word of God the same ever again. After you have this release and you begin to exercise this thing, your mind will say, this makes no sense. I don't understand what I'm saying. It sounds like baby talk. Understand something. We didn't get to the verse today, but Paul says your natural mind does not understand anything but the Spirit of God. Nothing. So just ignore your mind because your mind doesn't understand. That's fine. But your spirit is directly connected to the Spirit of God. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to declare a blessing over you, and we're going to, those of us that are released in this area, we're going to go ahead and pray out of our spirit. so amazing. A well-known individual was speaking about an environment that he was now, God had moved him into an environment, and he was surrounded by influential individuals, government officials and high influential individuals. And he asked, "Why am I even here, Lord? I'm so unqualified to even stand here." And the Spirit of God said, "This is exactly what you've been praying out of your spirit for a long time. Your future is in your spirit by the Spirit of God. You don't have to stand if you don't want. That's fine. You are well able to receive sitting there too. That's fantastic." So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to declare a blessing over you. And all I want you to do is just put your hands up in the air, like you're giving Father a big old hug. And we're going to just, and those of us that have a release in this area, we're just going to go ahead and begin to minister to the Lord out of our spirit and pray out of our spirit. And what you pay attention to the syllables that you have that come into your head. If you need this release or you want this release, pay attention to the syllables. It may just be one little syllable. And if that's the only thing you get, just say that over and over again. And you'll find that the more that you develop this, he'll give you an entire language. It's so fantastic. And along with that will come the flow of revelation from the Spirit of God as you read his word. And deity moments, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We love you. We're doing what you asked us to do this morning, Father. Father, I thank you for the outpouring of the Spirit of God in this place. I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you love these people so much, that they're such a blessing to you, Father, that you saw them from the foundation of the world and you bought them. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I ask thee right now that you cause the revelation of your Son to flow through this place. And you cause the revelation. That you cause your spirit to rest upon everybody in this room. And we're just going to minister to you out of our spirits this morning. I thank you that you said if we ask you, give us the Holy Spirit. So right now, let's just say this. Father, in the name of the Lord, I ask you for a release of the Spirit of God in my spirit. I thank you, and I receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Okay, let's just go ahead. Father, I thank you that you said in your word that where the Holy Spirit is, there's freedom and there's liberty. Father, I thank you for your freedom that's sweeping through this place from the right to the left. Father, I thank you that your healing presence is here. I thank you that your freedom is causing complete deliverance and set free from those things that have dogged us out. I just thank you and praise you for it, Father. Total 100% wholeness in physical limbs, in body parts, in organs. I thank you, Father, that your DNA is saturating our DNA. And I praise you for it. Ole kere mama senen kreasharangish. Kere mama dream. So if you're here, let's say, because you know a lot of times our minds kind of get in the way, and you know we understand that. But let's say that maybe you didn't experience that release this morning, but you did declare that you received it. So if you declare that you received it, that means you can go out of here. You don't have to be in a church house to be able to get to experience the release of this. You know, I used to lay in my bed, if you want to call it a bed, it was a blanket on the ground, and I used to put my hands up in the air, and I used to ask the Lord, fill me with your spirit, because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know anything about it. But, you know, when I finally went to church and somebody showed me how to step over into the release of that thing, I it was like I had, you know, there's like a one little syllable. I used to say the same thing over and over again. And I just, I, I only had that release. And so I went home in my car. I'm driving in my car. And I just kept on practicing. And man, I'm telling you, I was getting built up and built up and built up and built up. What's happening? When you feel those things, what's happening? What you're feeling is what you as the righteousness of God is. He's flooding your spirit with who you really are, and you're feeling that you're feeling all of that natural mess get lifted off of you. It's a tangible thing. He developed you to experience Him tangibly, not just a thought process. So when you develop this, you've already believed you've received it. So go home, or anytime, you know, drive down the road in your car, whatever, wherever you're out by yourself. And just say, Father, I thank you that I believe I received it. And give him your tongue. You may only have one syllable. Start with that one syllable. Keep saying it over and over and over again. He'll develop it. And before long, he'll give you your spirit will develop in a complete language. The only reason it's tough is because your natural tongue is only used to speaking your national language. That's the only reason. It only knows how to speak your natural language. It's like just with other natural languages. Sometimes if you're not used to speaking those things, your tongue doesn't know how to form the words. It's the same way out of your spirit. Your future is in your spirit with Him. And He wants you to develop in these things because He wants to take you not into a natural Christianity, but in a supernatural Christianity. Because you're wired for that. Did you guys get anything out of this today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if anybody needs prayer for anything, you know, I'll be up here. We have other folks that will pray for you too. Otherwise, you're dismissed. Have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.